Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Sikandar Alawadi, MD, and Beth Feynman, PhD, MS, APNVC, VMTCN, AOCN, FAAN, FAPO, about the potential clinical implications of the Phase 3 Araclia and Phase 2 Izalco studies, which investigated the use of isatuximab administered via an on-body delivery system in patients with relapsed refractory multiple myeloma. In our exclusive interview, Alawadi and Feynman discussed the rationale for efforts to bring isatuximab on-body injectors into the clinic, key patient-reported outcome findings from these studies, and how these findings may one day influence therapy administration across the broader multiple myeloma treatment paradigm.
I'm Sikandar Alawadi. I'm one of the hematologist-oncologists at Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm a professor of medicine here, and I lead our myeloma group at the Mayo Florida site.
Hello, my name is Beth Feynman. I am a nurse practitioner at the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio, and I also have an affiliation with the Case Comprehensive Cancer Center, and I'm so thrilled to be joining you today.
Thanks, both of you, for joining the call today. So just to start off talking about the Araclia and Izalco studies, can you just briefly discuss the rationale and design of Araclia in particular?
The premise of these studies, and of course coming to Araclia first, is to try and test out the benefit and also the side effect profile of a new way of administering the anti-CD38 monoclonal antibody Sarclisa. So Sarclisa or isatuximab is currently approved for use in the U.S. as an intravenous administration, which is a traditional way of giving a drug, monoclonal antibody. But this new version of administration is to administer the Sarclisa or isatuximab through an on-body injector, which is a new and actually, I would say, quite novel way of giving drugs, which is unique. We have not had other anti-cancer drugs administered this way. And so the premise of this trial was, Araclia in particular, was to give half the patients the traditional intravenous version of the antibody in combination with pomalidomide and dexamethasone. And the other half patients were to get this subcutaneous on-body injector in combination with the pomalidomide and dexamethasone. So a randomized study for patients with relapsed or refractory multiple myeloma. The way the study was set up was that it is a non-inferiority study, meaning to set out to prove that the subcutaneous on-body injector in combination with Pom-Dex is at least as effective as the intravenous version of the drug and does not add any new or concerning safety signal.
Yeah, I think that's a great summation of that study. I think the important thing from my perspective as a nurse practitioner is focusing on the device, right? So this on-body injector is actually pretty easy to administer. In clinical studies, we saw that a majority of the drug was actually administered. So in the Araclia study, we saw, again, this was a phase 3 study, I think it was like 5,140 out of 5,145 administrations were given without complication. And it takes about 13 minutes. And so from my perspective, that allows the patient to get in the chair, and you put the on-body device on, and that frees up the nurse to do other activities, such as tend to another patient's needs or hang another IV in another room. And most of the injections were completed in about 20 minutes. So from an administration's perspective, I think it offers a unique way of not only delivering the drug, but it seems to be delivered accurately and appropriately, at least in this study.
What were some of the efficacy and safety findings from this trial that have been reported?
It was a non-inferiority study, right? And so we saw that the overall response rate was about 71% in both arms. And the secondary endpoint was the C-trough at steady state. And I think it was at cycle 6, day 1. So we did see that it was non-inferior to give the isatuximab IV versus the on-body injection. What also struck me in reviewing the results of this study was the significantly lower risk of infusion-related reactions. So you had far lower risk of infusion-related reactions with the sub-Q device versus the IV device. And so not only is it a quicker administration time, less chair time, but also from a safety and non-inferiority perspective, it seems very attractive to consider this as an option.
And I think I would add to Beth's point, which Beth pointed out very nicely earlier, that in 99% of the cases, the delivery of the drug was done appropriately. It was successful. It is also important to keep in mind that it's a fixed dose of the drug. So it is not a weight-based. So it's a fixed dose of the drug that is loaded onto this on-body injector. And in fact, this device is smart enough in which when the drug is loaded in the injector and the injector is pasted onto the body and the button is pushed to for the drug to be administered to the skin, the needle, when it comes out, it has a mechanism that it adjusts to the subcutaneous tissue of the patient. So depending on whether someone has more subcutaneous fat or less subcutaneous fat, the needle adjusts to that so that a steady amount of drug can be administered, which is what Beth pointed out nicely, that the C-trough, the concentration of the drug after the six cycles of treatment were stable. Another thing that I want to point out, this study had a very unique aspect, which is that after six cycles of treatment, which is after that concentration level had already been measured, the patients who were getting the subcutaneous on-body injector, they could actually opt to get it at their home. So the study allowed for the patients to be administered this drug in the comfort of their home, at least on the day 15 of treatment, because on day one of the cycle, they had to come to the treatment center anyways. But the treatment of subcutaneous ESA is given, or ESA is given on day 1 and 15 every cycle. So I had a couple of patients who actually opted to take it at home, and they were pretty excited about the fact that now they're getting a monoclonal antibody immunotherapy drug in the convenience of their home. So that was something really remarkable in my mind.
Interesting change in paradigm, though. We don't have any chemotherapy drugs in multiple myeloma where you can not only administer, you know, sub-Q through this device, but at home. I think that that speaks to this uniqueness of this patient satisfaction that was measured in the Eraclia study as well. Of those that completed the questionnaire, 97% really liked this mode of administration. And I think the other thing to highlight is this smart needle that is injected, it's only a 30 gauge. So if you think about the manual push of when we give these drugs, it tends to be a higher gauge needle. I'm thinking 24 or 25. You can edit that out or whatever. It's a bigger gauge. So it's less comfortable for the patient. So that 30 gauge is really comfortable and it retracts. So the patients don't have to see or touch the needle. It retracts back into the device, which is a very smart mechanism.
The patients had a very high satisfaction rate. And the way the patient-reported outcomes were set up, that both the arms, the IV arm and the sub-Q on-body injector, they were both administered the same questionnaires. And overwhelmingly, the patients who got the sub-Q on-body injector administration for the isatuximab, they had much higher quality of life and satisfaction rate to report. And in fact, it's important to keep in mind these subtle things that Beth is pointing out from the nurse's standpoint, from the patient's standpoint. In fact, I'll bring us back to that infusion reaction piece where we expect that a subcutaneous administration should be less infusion reactions than the IV. That is there. But I should also point out that when the data was published, we did see that the traditional subcutaneous with a regular injection version of a monoclonal antibody, this on-body injector had significantly less reaction than even the subcutaneous injection version of giving a monoclonal antibody. So it's not only the convenience, the ease of giving at home, but the way this drug is formulated and given through this on-body injector, it truly makes it much safer for the patient.
Talking a little bit more about the Izalco study, is there anything else here that, you know, that kind of stands out here, you know, in comparison with Eraclia?
You know, the only thing I would say is that isatuximab IV, as you heard Dr. Alwadi had mentioned earlier, is FDA approved in combination with pomalidomide and dexamethasone, which are oral drugs. So to think about giving days 1 and 15 the sub-Q on-body device, and then you just take the pills at home, it seems like a very convenient regimen for busy patients and less burden of time on the patients when you come in quickly for the injection. I think in a perfect world, it would be wonderful to be able to give these drugs at home or have patients give it on day 15. But even if they can't, then we offer them the opportunity for a shorter time or a trip to the infusion center to just get that day 15 injection and then go home and then take the pomalidomide at home. So I think that that resonates with me. Patients, I think, really enjoy that convenience of not having to be in the chair or at the infusion center for long periods of time.
I agree. Absolutely agree with that point. I think from the Izalco standpoint, maybe I'll touch upon two quick things. And you're right in saying the regimens were similar. They were looking at the sub-Q. But the Izalco was set up a slightly different, in which all the patients who entered the study, they went through the traditional way, but that was looking at the traditional sub-Q with an injection being pushed into the skin by a nurse versus this on-body injector. And the patients, and of course, patient-reported outcomes, but Izalco also had physician and nurse-reported outcomes. And so when patients compared the on-body injector to a traditional sub-Q version, they overwhelmingly favored the on-body injector. And that's where I brought back the thought that even the safety noted, the reactions, et cetera, noted were much lesser with this on-body injector. So it's not just the drug formulation, but also the method of giving the drug, which is making it safer. And when it comes to the outcomes reported by the physicians and nurses, the ground staff who are actually administering this drug, there was an overwhelmingly positive feedback that was received from the provider standpoint, who felt that this was a huge step forward. So now you have kind of a complete story in which the drug is as effective as the intravenous, which is currently FDA approved, way safer in its profile than the intravenous, or even if this drug was to be administered in a traditional subcutaneous injection push. Patients really liked it, and the staff really liked it. So I think that kind of completes the story between these two studies of Iraklia and Izalco when it comes to the subcutaneous on-body injector for isatuximab.
Yeah, that was an excellent point, doctor. And the Izalco, again, just to be clear, and this was given with carfilzomib and dexamethasone. So this was an IV IV partner. And it was interesting. I really liked how it was designed. So they were randomized to get either the ESA OBI or the ESA sub-Q with the manual push, and then they flipped. And so they have that perspective, the patients and the healthcare providers, about receiving the drug both ways. And then they could decide what to keep on after those 4-week cycles. So I thought that was a very interesting way to design a study to expose them to both techniques, but then you get to decide which one do you want to stay with. And so again, it was overwhelmingly positive for the on-body injector. And I think in this Izalco study, I don't think there were any systemic infusion reactions with the sub-Q, as you had mentioned before. And again, when you think about comfort for the patient and convenience for the provider, the little bit of local injection site reactions, as you would expect, but were quickly resolved, which is really nice. The skin irritation you would expect, but there were no big welts or grade 3 or 4 severe skin or injection site reactions of this drug.
Do you think that, you know, the positive findings from these studies might lead to more widespread use of this type of, you know, on-body injector system administration approach with other drugs or in other patient populations?
Sure. I think that would be kind of the next step we would hope for. So right now, the isatuximab has been studied, this on-body injector, as Beth pointed out, with Iraklia, with Palm Dex, and in the Izalco with carfilzomib index. I know that there is another ongoing study called the SubQSA study, which is right now giving this on-body injector with carfilzomib index, generating some more PK data, et cetera, pharmacokinetic data, et cetera. So we are hoping that this data will be reviewed at some point by the FDA. And then based on that, let's see what the FDA decides in what regimens this will eventually get FDA approved if it does. So whether the FDA decides, now there is precedence in the past that when the bortezomib subcutaneous version was studied, based on one study, bortezomib subQ was approved across the board wherever bortezomib was used in any regimen. So that overnight we could switch from IV to subQ use of bortezomib across all regimens everywhere. Now, whether that is the same for this sub-Q or not, I have no idea. Let's see what the FDA decides, whether they decide to approve this on-body injector in specific regimens, say with Pomdex or carfilzomib dex, or if they say, yep, we're satisfied, this is non-inferior, safe, no new safety signal, and we are going to allow it to be used everywhere, wherever you use isatuximab. So I have no idea which way it'll land, but either way, I think we're very excited that at least patients will have an opportunity to use or get access to this OBI device in some way, shape, or form with some regimen sometime, hopefully in the near future. I don't know, Beth, any thoughts from you around that part?
Well, I'm just smiling because you used the example of bortezomib, and that was, I believe, 2010 was the approval of the sub-Q across the indications. And 15 years, almost 16 years later, we're still introducing new ways of giving these drugs. And I think it was Joe McHale is the one that always says, now every drug that we have studied in myeloma, we don't give it the same way down the road. We're learning the best ways to give the medications, the safest ways of giving medications. I really believe that a sub-Q monoclonal antibody will have less infusion-related reactions, less severe related reactions, better patient and healthcare provider satisfaction. And hopefully this will be an opportunity to roll this device out in hopefully the near future in my mind.
We can imagine that with the current healthcare scenario where patients can sometimes have issues getting to the provider or to the clinic, or sometimes we know that there are healthcare disparities and difficulties with access, we're hoping that these kind of advancements in the myeloma world will hopefully help overcome some of those issues, because otherwise the gaps in care keep widening because of the newer treatments that come, but not all of the patients have access to them. So I'm really hoping that this is a step in the right direction where hopefully the treatment can come to the patient rather than having the patient going to the treatment.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back throughout the week for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.